It's good to be with you this morning. As we said, you just never know quite what weather's going to be, and it is good that our weather is good this morning. We're going to be studying a few minutes one of the greatest blessings we have as Christians. But not only is one of the greatest blessings, it's one of the hardest parts of Christianity for us to really put into our lives. So it's a great blessing, but it's not very easy. And sometimes it's maybe the hardest thing we're even called to do. And that's the idea of forgiveness. We know that we're forgiven of our sins because of what Christ did on the cross. But we're talking this morning about our forgiveness and how we forgive others. Because that's really where we'll be this morning. We're going to take a look at some of the parables of Jesus as we have, and we will be over the next few weeks. When we look at parables of Jesus, they're really little word pictures. And if you look at them that way, quite often they become a little easier to understand. Jesus is just painting a little picture for you to see. And when he paints these pictures, it brings out what he's actually been teaching. So one of the ways to understand parables is to look at the context. Look at what Jesus has been saying right before and right after the parable. And it usually brings out the message that he's trying to get us to see in this little picture that he paints with a little story that he tells. And when you go through the parables, if you look at the stories, often they have made basically one major point that Jesus is trying to get us to see. And sometimes we get in and we want to see what every little thing in the parable may mean, and we sort of miss the point of the parable. Because Jesus is just painting a picture to bring home a theme that he's establishing and talking about. In the parables, usually there is one main theme. Often Jesus uses exaggeration to bring that out. And often if you take a look at the parable, there's one thing that doesn't quite fit quite right. And usually that's what Jesus is trying to get us to see or to understand. And you'll see his use of exaggeration a few times in the parables that we'll take a look at today. We're going to be over in Matthew chapter 18. And it starts off with a question that Peter asked Jesus. Peter comes to Jesus, or actually this is during a discussion with Jesus, and Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times." Well, now, we don't know exactly what Peter had in mind as far as the sin against him, but we do sin against each other all the time. Whether or not it's sometimes we may really cheat somebody or lie to them. Sometimes it could be something very minor, like we just said something, they took it the wrong way, and we take offense at something. Often we just take offense at each other. Somebody says something or does something, or maybe we feel like somebody just slighted us by something that they did, and we take offense at it. And we consider this, and that's what Peter is saying. How many times, when somebody offends me, should I forgive them? Seven times? Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Seven times. There again, look at the context that Jesus is talking about. A few verses back, Jesus talks about forgiveness. If you look back to a few verses, back to 15, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. What Jesus is saying is if somebody does offend you, you do have some bone to pick with somebody. Don't just let it lie. Don't just forget it. Go and talk to them about it. Work it out. We don't just let things just go, so to speak. In the Sermon on the Mount, he brings out this idea, the other side of the story. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, in other words, you're going to worship, and you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then offer your gift. Now, notice what Jesus is saying. What he's saying to us is, is there a conflict between you and somebody? Have they offended you or you offended them? Doesn't matter which way it goes. Jesus says, you need to go and talk it out with them. That's what he says. If they've offended you or you've offended them, either way, you go and talk it out with them. Get back in fellowship with each other. The idea of fellowship lies through this whole idea that we need to get along with each other. And sometimes if we have a conflict with somebody, they've done something sort of hurt our feelings, what do? Often we just want to ignore them or walk around somewhere so we don't have to talk to them at all. Jesus says, don't do that. Go to that person, sit down and talk it out. That's what he says to do. If they've offended you or you've offended them, it doesn't matter. Either way, you need to forgive each other and you need to come back together. If you look at the book of Philippians, that whole book is really brought together in chapter 4, where there are two sisters in the church there that aren't getting along. And it appears that Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi so that these two sisters would get back together. He doesn't say which one was wrong or what they did. He just says, you need to get together, and the rest of the church needs to help you come together. And so Jesus teaches that we need to get along with each other. And that the key to that is forgiving each other. And that may be the hardest thing we're ever called to do, is to truly forgive one another when we've hurt each other, when we have done something to hurt each other. And that's what Jesus brings out. And notice, he first off, Jesus answered to Peter, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Now what's Jesus saying? That we need to write down 490 and keep a track, and when you get to 490, that's it? You think that's what Jesus is saying? Of course not. What's Jesus saying? We forgive without limit. And he uses really exaggeration to do that. Not 7 times, Peter. Not even 7 times 7, but 70 times 7. 490 times. Forgive without limit. Because that's the way our Heavenly Father forgives us. And then Jesus tells a parable to bring this point home. And notice the parable that he goes through. Jesus said to them, Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, here again, this is exaggeration. No one could ever own or owe 10,000 talents. I did some calculations this week trying to figure out how much 10,000 talents would actually be. A talent is a fair amount. It's like 3,000 shekels. So I know now you know exactly how much it is, right? Because you all know how much a shekel is, right? Well, a shekel happens to be 1/2 ounce of silver. And if you went through the calculation of 10,000 talents, it'd be something on the order of $1 billion. Could be silver or gold. And if it was gold, it could be as much as $15 billion. The point is not how much it is, because no one could owe $1 billion. At this time, if everybody in Jerusalem had come together, they probably didn't know that much. But what the point is Jesus is making is very clear, isn't it? Here's a debt that could not possibly be repaid. That's what Jesus is saying. This guy owed so much money, if he worked for 1,000 years, it wouldn't be enough to work off this debt. This was a debt that could not be repaid. That's what Jesus says. A lot of times we've run up debts, and we may feel like sometimes our debt is more than what we could ever pay. And you think about the worst debt that you've ever had, and then just multiply it by 1,000, and you realize that this guy was behind the eight ball. There was no way he could pay the debt that he was facing. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and with his wife and children, all that he had, to be payment to be made. Now that's something we may not think about, being sold as a slavery, but actually this was done up until just a couple 100 years back. People could actually be sold or put into a debtor's prison for debts. So the servant fell on his knees and implored him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. Well, we know that's not true. There's no way he could ever pay even a fraction of that debt. Out of pity, for mercy for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave the debt. And that's the way we're forgiven, of a debt that we cannot possibly pay. But the story doesn't end there that Jesus tells. And this is the next part that he comes to. But when the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who he owed 100 denarii. Now 100 denarii is 100 days' wages. So this is a fair amount of money, maybe $10,000 for us today or something like that. So it's a fair amount of money, but something that could be worked off over time. 100 denarii. Seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay me what you owe me. So the fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused and went and put him in prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. They went out and reported to the master all that had taken place. Now look at the final part of the story. Then the master summoned him and said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you the debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servants as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. So also your heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive from your heart. Notice the point that Jesus makes there at the end. We are to forgive each other if we expect our heavenly Father to forgive us. And we must forgive from the heart. And that's what we'll be taking a look at for the next few minutes. Is what does it mean to truly forgive from the heart? What does that really bring to us? If you look over to, again, to the scripture reading this morning that we had, to me it's one of the a truly beautiful passage from Colossians. And notice just some of the words that are used here. Put on as God's chosen one. We are the chosen people of God. Beloved, put on a compassionate heart. Isn't that a nice expression? A compassionate heart. Ever known someone that has a compassionate heart? Hopefully we should all have a compassionate heart. A heart of kindness. Is that the way people think of us? Do you think of each other as a people of a compassionate, kind heart? That's the words Paul is using. Kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. What does it mean to bear with one another? Doesn't it mean that we just don't take offense at every little thing that we say? When somebody says something or we take a slight at it, then what does it mean? Don't we just bear with one another? Isn't it that way of overlooking things that we could take the wrong way if we want to, but can we learn to truly bear with one another? If someone has a complaint, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, and notice this last line, you must forgive each other. Forgiveness is not something that's optional. It's not something that we can choose to do or not do, depending upon how we feel about it. We must forgive if we're to be forgiven from our Lord, because that's the key to our fellowship that we have one with another. James brings it out maybe a little bit firmer, like Jesus does in this parable. For judgment without mercy. Now, I don't think any of us want to be standing there. Judgment will be to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We're to be a merciful people with each other, forgiving each other, bearing with one another. This is the kind of people that we're called to be. But it's not always an easy thing to do. And we take a look at how hard it is sometimes for us to truly forgive one another. What do we mean by forgiveness? Sometimes we think about forgiveness and something, well, that means we don't punish the other person. But forgiveness is much more than that. In Psalms 32, David talks about his forgiveness before the Lord. He had done some pretty bad things. If you think about David's life, murder, adultery. I mean, he had what we call those really big sins. But he could talk about being white as snow, being completely forgiven. In Romans, Paul quotes from David's psalm and shows us this is the way God has always been with us. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and their sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord does not count his sin. Now, what David is saying here, the word count is the same word you'd use if you had a ledger book and somebody wrote down a debt. And what David is saying, blessed the one that God doesn't write it down anymore. God has this book of life. Everything you've done is written in the book of life. And what David is saying is when you're forgiven of a sin, it's not in the book anymore. God takes it out. It's not just that God forgives you of it, but still remembers it. And that's where so often we are. Somebody does something to us, oh, I forgive you, but I can't really forget. God forgets because he takes it out of the book. It's no longer counted in the book of life. Peter in one place says he wipes it out. It's like it's no record of it anymore. Look at the way it's said in one of my favorite passages in Hebrews, quoting from Jeremiah in the Old Testament. I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. God doesn't remember it anymore. When you're forgiven, it doesn't mean just the penalty goes away. The act itself is no longer in God's record book. He forgets it. And God calls us to do the same thing. He calls for us. When we forgive somebody, it's not like we say, well, I'll overlook it this time, but if you do it again, then I'll know it. You can't say that because you forgot it. It's no longer back there. There is no blame attached when you're forgiven of a sin. It's as if the slate is truly wiped clean. And that's one of the things. Don't you always want that second chance? That's what the slate wiped clean. That's what forgiveness is. Now, it doesn't mean there aren't sometimes consequences of sins, because when we do things, sometimes the consequences stay with us. But in God's sight, in the sight of each other, we need to learn how to truly forget when we forgive for a sin. That's what we're called to do, is to truly, truly wipe the slate clean. And in doing so, we come down to, back to the parable. Our forgiveness before the Lord depends upon us being able to forgive each other. When you don't forgive someone, sometimes we think, well, if that person doesn't ask for my forgiveness, I don't have to forgive them. I've actually had a long discussion with someone on that. Well, they never repented of it. They never asked for me to, I don't have to forgive them. When you don't forgive somebody, who do you hurt? Do you hurt that person? They probably don't even know it. You hurt yourself because you're holding that little bit of anger, that little bit of darkness into your heart. And I think that's why Jesus says, forgive from your heart. You can't hold that little bit in there, because if you do, who are you hurting? Yourself. We serve a God who is light. There's no darkness at all. When we start holding a little darkness in our lives, we're not being like our Father. We're called to be like our Father. And that means when we forgive, we take it out of our heart. We forgive totally from our inner being out. We forgive totally. That means we don't hold that little bit in anymore. We totally forgive. Look at what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass." Now, when you take a look at trespass, that's not a word we use a lot. A lot of translations just use sin. But we know what it means to trespass somebody else's property. When you go in somebody's house and you're breaking in, we call that a trespass. It's really when you take something that belongs to somebody else, you impinge upon somebody else. If you go back to the dictionary, it's just simply the act of going beyond the limits that are considered moral or right. The idea of you impinging on somebody else. And what Jesus is saying here, if you want the Heavenly Father to forgive you, then you must be willing to forgive each other. Our forgiveness between our God, our peace between us and God, depends upon us having peace with each other. And that comes from when we truly forgive each other from the heart. I don't think it's an easy thing for us to always do. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, there's a story of David. Another one of the sins, we don't think too much of David. He goes out and he decides he's going to count all the fighting men of Israel. He's going to say, how big an army could I raise if I really needed to go to war? Now, this was a pride and arrogance on David's part. And the Lord sends a prophet to him to tell him, David, you're going to pay for this sin, because this was a terrible grievance before the Lord, your pride. But I'm going to give you a choice on three different things, and you can choose the punishment that you can take. You can have 3 years of famine in the land. You can have 3 months when your enemies will, you have to run before your enemies, or 3 days of famine before the Lord. And David answers, he says, let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for His mercy is great, but do not let me fall into the hands of men. So often, I'm afraid that's the way we are. We don't forgive like the Lord does. The Lord shows mercy. He wipes the slate clean. But sometimes, it's not so easy for us to do. I believe sometimes if somebody's truly hurt us, it may be very hard for us not just to forgive, but to truly forget. Sometimes we hold those things in, and we're called to forgive from the heart. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus tells a small little parable. He goes into the house of a Pharisee. Now, the word Pharisee means separate ones. The Pharisees were very religious. They knew the law very well. And they tried to keep themselves separate from what they considered the sinners of their day. And so Jesus goes to this Pharisee's house to eat. He's evidently been invited in. And when he goes, the Pharisee really isn't very hospitable to him. But one of the ladies in the town that's called a sinner, we don't know exactly what her background is, she's just called a sinner. She comes in and she anoints Jesus' feet while he's there. And she actually uses her own hair to anoint his feet. And the Pharisee sees this and he looks at Jesus and his thought is, if this man was truly a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman this is and he wouldn't have anything to do with her. And so Jesus looks over at the Pharisee and he tells him a little story. He says, there was a money lender and he loaned money to two men and he loaned 500 denarii to one man and 50 to another man. Well, neither one could pay, so he just forgave both of their debts. And he said, now which one of these two men will love him more? And the Pharisee says, I guess the guy that owned him the most money would love him more. And notice what Jesus says to the Pharisee. Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who has forgiven little, loves little. Now you think about that parable, and you think about us. Do we love little because we don't think we've been forgiven for very much? Do we realize the debt that we could not pay, that has been forgiven, so that we can love our Lord with all of our hearts? When we start realizing how much we owe the Lord and how much we should be loving our Lord, then maybe we can start learning how to forgive each other the little things that we do with each other. Four ideas and the lesson's yours this morning. Forgiveness comes to us by the cross of Jesus Christ. When we fail to forgive each other, what are we saying about the cross? Our God is a God of mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. When we fail to forgive each other, are we living in the image of our God? We're to be His children. And as His children, we're to reflect our Lord in our lives. Our Lord went to the cross to forgive us. Can we not forgive one another? Forgiveness means forgetting. It doesn't mean that we hold it in and just say, well, it's gone, but I remember. Forgetting is part of forgiveness. We wipe the slate clean. And the last thing, do we think of the great blessing of forgiveness? When we forgive, it's not just the person that we forgive that's blessed. We are blessed because now we can be once again clean and pure. When we hold a grudge against someone, we're the ones that are being hurt. Forgiveness blesses both the one forgiven and the one doing the forgiving because it brings peace. We're to have peace with our God and we're to have peace with each other. And that peace can only come when we truly learn to forgive from our hearts one to another. This morning, The message we have is one of the great blessings we have in Christ. And that's the forgiveness we have when we accept Him as our Lord and our Savior. When you're baptized, is that the slate truly has been wiped clean because you arrived from the waters of baptism to walk a new life with your Lord. If you've never started that, there's never a better time to start that wonderful life than today. But if you've started that life, but you haven't been faithful to it, there's not a better time to resolve to be faithful to it today. If you failed to forgive anyone in your heart, think about, pray to the Lord to help you to have the forgiving, compassionate, forgiving heart that we're called to have as Christians. If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing. John's just